Hello, everyone. This is Pastor G with today's daily podcast. Today we'll be going through 1 Kings chapters 15 through 17. It's a pleasure, it's a privilege to be able to open up God's Word with you this morning. I'm truly excited. So let's get started. If you go to chapter 15, beginning with Abiham, we'll see that, well, you know, just real quickly, we'll see that the majority of the kings that will be listed throughout are evil. They don't do what's good in the sight of the Lord. They do what is evil. Beginning with the Abiham, it starts off that he reigned for 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom, and he walked in all the sins that his father did before him, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord God as the heart of his father David. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Asa does what is good in the sight of the Lord. It says he reigned for 41 years, and Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He put away male prostitutes out of the land, removed the idols that his fathers had made. He also removed Maacah, his mother, from being queen mother because she had made an abominable image for Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and burned it at the brook Kidron. He did this to his, you know, his own mother. Praise the Lord. But the high places were not taken away. So he didn't do everything right. If you know this, the high places were where, like the priest of Baal and all that, they would do their sacrifices to Baal. The heart of Asa, though, was wholly true to the Lord all his days. Nadab also did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Baasha did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. We go to chapter 16. We see that, you know, there's just a continuation of evil in the sight of the Lord. Elah you know, all these kings, sorry, I'm getting, there's just so many, but they all do what's evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, I want to come down to Omri real quick, okay, because he's the father of Ahab, which is what I want to kind of talk about. Omri is evil. Does completely evil in the sight of the Lord. And like I said, he's the father of Ahab. Ahab, I don't think there's any, you know, when people think about, you know, like 1 Kings, I don't think there's any more famous evil king than Ahab. Ahab, he not only, he takes evil to another level, I guess. Like, he completely worships Baal. He's setting up these places to worship Baal. And he's married to probably the most famous evil woman to this day, Jezebel. And Jezebel, you know, she's like from, oh, is it Zeraphim? Something like, anyway, That's not even a Jewish place. Like, that's a Phoenician type place. Like, it's a Gentiles are there, and like, that's his wife, and you know, they're so the two of them, probably the most famous couple, evil couple, especially in First Kings. I can't express enough how evil they are in the sight of the Lord. So, in this darkness, okay, in the midst of this darkness, God raises up a light. Elijah, the prophet Elijah. And what does, God sends Elijah to Ahab to warn, hey, this is what's going to happen. There will be a famine in the land, a drought. There will not be a drop of water. There won't even be dew on the ground. Ahab, I could imagine is just like whatever, you know. And Elijah is told by the Lord to go to a brook and to stay there while this drought is going on. And he's going to be taken care of. And he uses, divine intervention to do that with the ravens. Like, they come and they provide food for Elijah during this time. And then the Lord tells Elijah to go to Zarephath. Now, that, again, Zarephath is where Jezebel is from. Okay. So the widow is a Gentile. She's not, she's non-Jewish. Okay. Keep that in mind. And the Lord tells Elijah to go to her because, well, we'll see. And so Elijah goes to the widow. Let me see if I can find it real quick so you can see what I'm talking about. Where the widow says, the Lord, your God. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. Not our God, your God. So the widow's not a believer at this point. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil should not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, and neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Like, the Lord, and it's this, I love this. So, the widow becomes a believer. Like, she is a believer, the Lord, the God. And also, how God provides. Like, God provides for every need that we have, every thing we, you know, we do not lack anything. The Lord provides. And then the Lord, the widow's son, he becomes ill and he dies. And Elijah, through an act of faith, he knows that the Lord could raise this child. He gets the child, takes the child up to his dwelling, and lays on the child three times, and the child lives. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber in the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." She believed. Like, she believes in the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, and that tells me, you know, like, you know, God, you know, is God of the living and God of the resurrection. Like, the resurrection for all to come. Like, God is sovereign. Like, God is on his throne always. And we should remember that, you know, especially, you know, that's our hope, you know, God, you know, someday, you know, Lord willing, you know, God will, you know, and he does fulfill his promises. And so I'm excited about that. I kind of wish I had. Sorry, I'm kind of stuttering through this whole thing. But there's just a lot to it. But, you know, as we'll see in the next chapters, that, you know, there will be like a... confrontation, if you will, between God and the non-existent God of Baal on Mount Carmel. And what a, man, I can't wait to get to that and to hear whoever's covering that, to hear what they've got to say about it. Like, it's just a reinforcement of, you know, God is God, like, and there is no other. And also, real quickly about, you know the widow's a Gentile. Like, God is God not only of the Jew; he is God of all who believe. And so, I'll just leave you with that. Love you all. Hope you all have a great day, evening, whatever you got, and hope to see you tomorrow at church. Love y'all.